Good morning.
Good morning.
In the name of Jesus Christ and on behalf of the First Congregational Church of Natick, I welcome you here this morning. I'm thrilled that you came. I've never seen the sanctuary this full. And even more importantly, I've never seen so many young people here. So if there are visiting young people, feel free. There's no behavior codes, just be yourself, and if you feel like running around, then you should do that. I'm speaking for the group, right?
Yes.
Young people as defined by oneself. A bunch of announcements. I want to call your attention to the purple flags out in front of the church. They represent more than 2,000 deaths by opioids last year. You'll notice the red flags too, that people are invited to write something on, and the red flags are put there by people who have had loved ones who have died of it or other experiences with opioids. It's really worth just going out there for a second to see how moving it is. We'll be lighting the candle in just a moment, so I invite those people at home worshiping with us online to get a candle and join with us in that. There'll come a time later in the service where we will have a community prayer. People are welcome to write a prayer request on a piece of paper you'll find in your pew. Give it to an usher who will then give it to me. You may also email them to prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, or you may text it to me on my cell phone, which is 978-790-8250, and I will check it before we enter that time of prayer. We'll have post-worship fellowship, post meaning after worship. I hope everybody will come. There'll be a Zoom version of it that Sarah Lynn will set up. And perhaps most importantly, there'll be hot dogs, hamburgers, veggie burgers, chips, all of that stuff. I hope as many people as can will join us in that, especially newcomers or visitors in our midst who want to learn a bit more about the church. Janet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's amazing to be here in person for Rally Day, and as Andy said, to see so many faces. I'm Janet Levesque, and last spring a transition team was formed to begin the journey to call our next settled pastor. And I'm privileged to lead this effort with an incredible team of volunteers, most of who weren't able to be here today, but I think Mindy Hogue, Miriam Jennings, Jean Keaty, Janine's here somewhere, Ken Pierce, Lane McDonough, along with Andy, our intrepid interim minister. We call ourselves the Dream Catchers, and you will notice several symbols of dream catching up there and on my neck. And our mission and purpose is really to capture and document who we are as a congregation, who are our neighbors, and who is God calling us to become. We've been hard at work over the summer defining who we are as a First Church of Natick, what defines us as a congregation, the extravagant welcome kind of folks at the front porch of Natick that we are. We're open and affirming. God loves you no matter what kind of people. We've been conducting online and paper surveys to capture insights from everyone, to document what's important to us. We've been reading call agreement workbooks and mission insight reports. We've been gathering data from lots of sources and compiling a church profile, which I'll talk about in a minute. We've started to schedule a number of what we're calling cottage meetings. The first one is tomorrow night at the Hannah's House, and they'll run various times and places in person at the church and on Zoom, really to accommodate everyone's schedules. And there's some sign-up sheets downstairs. The second thing we've been doing is really thinking about who are our neighbors. What does Natick and the community beyond us need? And we're scheduling some time with the public school administration, our police department, and a host of community groups. So more to come on that as well. Once we have things from those two first objectives, our third is to codify and really document who is God calling us to become. This will enable us to finalize our church profile, which is essentially a dossier that is not just a job description, but really a document that profiles who we are and what we hope to be in the future. Our hope is to finalize that profile later this calendar year, so then a search team can begin to, in earnest, identify, interview, and really deeply discern candidates for our next settled pastor. So what can you do? I have four things I'd love for you to do. One, we have a giant dream catcher behind me, and downstairs we're trying to figure out where we're going to put it during the picnic, but there's a basket with little feathers with ribbons on them, and I would encourage you to pick one up and tie your dream onto the dream catcher, just as a symbol of something that, what you're looking for as we move forward as a congregation. Second, there's four sign-up folders, or easels downstairs for the cottage meeting, so I encourage you to sign up for one of those. It's a chance to meet in small groups to talk about what's important to you. And then third, mark your calendar for a fancy coffee hour on September 25th, where we'll celebrate sort of the past, the present, and the future together. More to come on that. And then finally, if you missed picking up a personal dream catcher, there's still plenty to be had that you can pin on your lapel or ones that you can wear around your neck like me. So thank you.
You're
Thanks,
welcome.
Janet. Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen. Some of you may know her book, Kitchen Table Wisdom. She's a physician. She writes in this book, which just came out last week. In the beginning, there was only darkness, and then a great ray of light ended the darkness, and the world was born. The world of a thousand things. It was filled with light. Then something unexpected happened, and the light of the world broke into millions of sparks of light. These sparks fell everywhere. They fell into everyone and everything. This is why you and I were born, and everyone was born, to find the light, to change the world. Come, O Spirit of light, and enliven our worship.
The call to celebration, please join me in this responsive call. Whoever you are and wherever you are welcome in this community.
That is good news.
Bring your gifts to praise God. This community is a great gift. Bring your needs to praise God too. We need to be together after being separated for so long by COVID. Let us worship God with joy and spirit. Let us move together from COVID to community. Please rise in body or spirit and spirit as we sing our first hymn.
Thank you.
be seated. If you would please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, O wondrous God, on this exciting day in the life of this community, we have gathered together to celebrate your presence among us, to praise you and thank you for all you have given us. May this time of worship strengthen and refresh us and fill us with such joy that we cannot help but share it with everyone around us. Though we are very different people with many different talents and gifts, draw us from COVID to community and make us one in your spirit, that we may be your ministers in the world. Amen. When we offer God our confession, we join the beautiful work of reconciliation, which begins with our reconciling with God. Trusting in our partner in grace, let us make our confession, praying together. Creator of our bodies and the body of Christ, you call us to be your presence, your body in this world. But too often we get caught up in being a hand or a foot, an eye or an ear, that we lose sight of the body as a whole. It's easier to fracture into pieces and go our separate ways, forgetting we need each other to be whole. Help us see with new eyes and hear with the ears of our heart the liberating spirit of your love that strengthens, revives, enables, and calls us from the separation of COVID into the wholeness of community, to be and do all you call us to be and do. O God of liberation and justice, remember us, the body of Christ, and help us be faithful witnesses to your love and unity. Amen. The Spirit of God is upon us. God has called us to bring good news and liberation to the poor, to the marginalized, and to all who are in need anywhere. God's joy is our strength. Through God, we can all do things. God's Spirit surrounds us with forgiveness and love.
There are lots of people here this morning, as I said, and it's great to see every single one. Given that, there are probably that many number of thoughts about COVID. So remembering that people may have differing thoughts about distance or shaking hands, let us take a moment to offer the peace of Christ to each other. May the peace of Christ be with you.
She's a palm motion. A new beginning in the programming for the year for First Church. And I am grateful for such a wonderful, amazing group of adults who volunteered their time, their gifts, their treasure, all of it, to the young people of our church. We couldn't do it without their creativity, their spirit, their faith, and their commitment. So I want to give you the opportunity to thank all of these people who are a part of our Faith Formation team. So those of you who are on that team, please stand when you hear your name called. And you can see the names are right up there. I'm going to be reading them off the screen. Matt Basilier, Michelle Brewer, Beth Canterbury, Robin Clausen, Amy Corbin, Mark Dixon, Gretchen Dubois, Rick Dubois, Amy Foley, Chris Gentry, Sarah Beth Guptill, Sarah Hanna, Mindy Hogue, Maureen Mann, Sue Massioli, Lane McDonough, Gwen Ramage, Bill Ramage, Rick Ripley, Michael Rosendahl, Heather Sanborn, Grace Psyche, Heather Psyche, Maura Shaughnessy, Jean Sniffen, Christine Weddle, and probably I've forgotten someone, and I apologize if I have. These are the people who are in our nursery, in our godly play, in our connect, in our youth groups. These are the people who spend time with the children and the young people of our church to make this a fabulous place. And I just realized I didn't. There we go. Sorry. Good thing I have a loud voice. Thank you. There we go. That's better. All right. Sorry about that. I was so excited. Anyway, this is a big day for Faith Formation, right? It's the start of the year, and we are so excited. There is going to be a special program for the children downstairs. So right after we're done with all of this, we're going to call all of the kids who want to come with us to come downstairs. And so we have a response for all of those people who give of their time and their spirit to this program. So if you'll join me in the congregational response as we say together, we believe that the Spirit of God moves in each of us, no matter how young we are or how old we grow. God is as close as the air around us, just waiting for us to breathe in. No one needs to learn how to breathe. It is how we are made. It is language that we must learn, the language of God's great love story with the world, the language of prayer, the language of care, the language of selflessness. To teach that language of faith is our opportunity, our responsibility, and our joy. As we begin a new year together, we promise to share our faith with each other, children, youth, and adults alike. We will seek to move this church from COVID to community, where all can experience the love of God. We make this promise with God and with each other as we strive to follow the way of Jesus Christ, our teacher. Amen. And as the choir said so eloquently in the anthem this morning, together we do so much better, we do so much more than we are when we are apart. So this is the work for all of us together. So another exciting thing that we have to do today, every rally day, it's our tradition.
Can I interject right
there? Yeah.
It is the tradition of this church to do what we're about to do. Here's a little quiz. And if anybody gets the answer right, I'll buy them 2 burgers downstairs. So outside of it being a tradition here, why do we give Bibles to the kids? Mr. Evers, you're the historian.
Put you on the spot.
It's a total Bible nerd thing, but it goes back to the Protestant Reformation. Back when there was one church, the Catholic Church at the time, or the church at the time, Scripture was restricted to the clergy. It was written in a language that the lay people couldn't read. It wasn't put out there to people. And so we give Bibles to third graders because we believe that everybody can interpret Scripture on their own. So they have these Bibles because of that and because of this tradition. Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm glad you did. And it does show them how much we care for them. And so this is an important part of what we do. So I want to call forward Cora Tirantini, come on up, Cora, to receive your Bible, and Emily Springer. We had a couple of other people who I don't think are here, but I'll tell you their names anyway.
Hi,
Avery Schmidt and Theo Davis. And I don't think that they're here, so we'll hold their Bibles for the next time that they're in church. So if you guys come right up here by me, and you're going to stand and look this way. Now, everybody, you have the words in your bulletin, and they're going to be up on the screen. So we're going to ask you to read with them as they read together this verse from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 14, and it's the part that's highlighted in your Bible. Can you guys find it? Yeah. It's hard to read with the highlight, isn't it? Okay. All right, so let's read that together. For surely I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for your welfare and not for harm, to give you a future with hope. Then when you call upon me and come and pray to me, I will hear you. When you search for me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart, I will let you find me, says the Lord.
When you get downstairs, you need to see the shoes on both young women. They're very
sparkly. Very nice. All right. And you guys can stay here, because now I'm going to call all of the children to come forward. And if you brought a backpack with you, bring it with you, because we have something for you to hang on your backpack. Now, it's fine if you didn't bring your backpack with you today, because you can take this home with you and put it on your backpack when you get home. And then for all of the adults here, after the children are gone and we're downstairs, there are 100 of these in here. So you can take one to put on your purse or your briefcase or whatever it is that you carry with you to work or to the gym or wherever you go, that you know that this is a community that loves you and cares for you. And this year, the symbol that is on our keychain is called a triquetra. It's a Celtic symbol. Do you see that? Do you guys see that? And it's too small for you to see. You'll have to see it when we're done. It's a symbol that shows the Trinity and a circle around it. And so it represents a lot of different things. It represents the Trinity, God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. It represents birth, life, death. It represents community. It represents all of those good things. So I'm going to pass this around. You can take one and pass it, please. Okay? And then we're going to all stand up. If you can, all those who are able, stand up. Reach your hands out towards these backpacks and these children who are standing in the front. And we're going to bless these backpacks, right? And if you've got one or something out there, just know that we're blessing you too. Okay. So please say together with me the blessing of the backpacks. Oh God, bless these backpacks. Make them strong for their job of helping our children to learn. May their straps never break, padding never give out, their zippers never jam. May they never be forgotten in strange places. May the burdens in them be light, and may the bodies that bear them be strong and growing and blessed by your love. In the name of the great teacher, at whose knee we are all students. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Did everybody get their backpack charm? You ready? Okay. Then let's go. I'm going to lead the way. Yes. I don't know where the basket is, though. Hold on.
Many of you are now familiar with the Apostle Paul's words in his second letter to the church in Corinth. Paul wrote, "It's not that you ought to give and leave yourselves in hardship, but there should be a fair balance. Your surplus at present may fill their deficit, and at another time, their surplus may fill your deficit." As we continue to worship God with our offerings, you may place them in the offering plates at each door to the sanctuary. You may mail it to the church, or you can go to the website and do it there. Let's continue to worship God with our offerings.
Thank you.
Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Holy God, we sit in our seats this morning with space around us, lest we be uncomfortable or make someone else uncomfortable. We sometimes feel we can stay as an island, protected and guarded, and still be faithful to you. Then you remind us that we are part of one body in Christ, and that every part, from the greatest to the least, is important to the whole. So as we give our gifts this morning, remind us again that our generosity strengthens us and the whole body here in the farthest parts of the globe. Amen. Please be seated.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the church at Corinth, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them, as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater respect, whereas our most respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Here ends today's reading.
Some time back, I bought this puzzle, planning to use it with the Dreamcatchers at their first get-together. When it arrived at home, I thought it was even cooler than it was when I ordered it. And after taking it apart, I tried to put it back together. And I couldn't. So I called Karen Nell, my lovely wife, into my office for her to give it a shot. She couldn't. Then a friend and colleague was there, Jen, and she stepped up to the plate rather arrogantly, one might say. No luck. It's a 9-piece puzzle. What's the big deal? Finally, I asked our younger daughter, Connie Burr, to give it a whirl. Believe me when I tell you, she had it put together in less than 10 seconds. A 9-piece puzzle. I'll leave it here in case anybody wants to give it a whirl. At that first Dreamcatchers meeting, After each member had completed their assignments with their own piece of the puzzle, I asked the dream catchers to put it together. They couldn't. This team of people who are leading our church into the next pastorate couldn't put together a 9-piece puzzle. After all of that, Lane took it home, Lane McDonough, and gave it to Kirsten. Like Connie Burr, she had it put together almost instantaneously. Apparently, both Connie Burr and Kirsten McDonough have that same otherworldly, somewhat weird spatial sense that allows them to win every single game of Quirkle. It was jigsaw puzzles that helped Connie Burr maintain her sanity through much of those frighteningly monotonous early days of COVID, weeks and months, while listening to Dr. Fauci exhort us to stay home and flatten the curve while running down our toilet paper stockpiles. Connie Burr proclaimed that the big table in the porch was hers for the duration and began working on her tower of jigsaw puzzles that she'd received as gifts over the years. People in our family and throughout the Shire knew that she loved them, so gave them to her as gifts quite often. People knew she was good at them, so they chose those terrible, impossible 2,000, 3,000 piece puzzles, thinking that she'd never complete them. Honestly, in what seemed like no time at all, it was very impressive. Even if a bit scary, those puzzles also gave our family something upon which we could focus our attention, so we would stop yammering at and bickering with each other. It was the yammering and the bickering among members of the Corinthian church that the Apostle Paul was addressing in his letter to them that we heard Doug read a moment ago. The very Reverend Samuel T. Lloyd III, rector of Washington National Cathedral, preached about this passage. He said, Paul is writing to the angry, divided church in Corinth. He spends several chapters lecturing them about all their failures. How dare you call yourself Christians, he's saying, acting the way you are with each other. You're fussing and fighting your petty divisions. You're turning away from living Christ's way. He gives them specific instructions about how to behave better. Then, even after that long tirade, he declares, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Lloyd continues, notice, he doesn't say something like, come on, you ought to behave as if you were the body of Christ. Or, cut it out now. Be good. Be good, Christians, and you might become the body of Christ. He just states a fact that that church needs to come to grips with. You are the body of Christ. He was using a metaphor that went back at least to Aristotle and the Greek philosophers about the nature of the state as having many members, each with a particular role to play. But he picked that image up and applied it with almost literal force to the church. To be a Christian is to take your place in a body that has as many parts as there are fellow Christians. You are all part of one life. You can't be an island. You all depend on each other. In fact, you can't be a Christian alone. To be a Christian, Paul was saying, means being in the church, part of the community. Being in the church, this church, without exception, that's what I've been hearing folks saying from this church about what they missed most throughout the long, dark reign of COVID throughout the land. It's that fact alone that imbues this rally Sunday with so many hopes and dreams. Will people come back? What will the faith formation programs look like and feel like? How will teams and task forces, dream catchers and search teams, how will they minister and be together? What does it mean not only to be church in this post-COVID time, but what does it mean to search for and call a new settled pastor in these days? Those questions and others like them are at the forefront of many folks' minds this morning. What will things be like? And into that yawning void of COVID, right into the middle of that gaping abyss of isolation, the Apostle Paul has the outrageous insolence to say this: now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. As travelers on the way, as people of faith, we know, because we've been taught and believe, that those 12 words have so much more meaning than some saccharine bon mot which Aunts Millie and Harriet cross-stitched on that yellowed threadbare sampler hanging in the upstairs hallway. For those who are searching for meaning, a sense of serenity and inclusion, for those who spend their time yammering and bickering, Paul says, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. This, he says, this is the way to be church together. Listen. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot were to say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear were to say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as God chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. Over the next several weeks through November 20th, in the beginning of Advent, we'll be spending our time looking at various aspects of community and how those various communities shape and inform our lives. The theme, as you might have guessed, is from COVID to community. You'll hear reflections from me and from others, members of the Indigenous community in Natick, members of the LGBTQ+ community, members of the community who live with and suffer from mental illness. We'll have fun in worship. We'll meditate on an art installation here in the sanctuary, and we'll share communion and more. What does it mean to be part of this specific community? What does it mean to gather again as a community of faith after the COVID-induced wilderness and isolation? What are the symptoms? What are the symptoms of long-haul COVID on this church? What does participation in various communities bring to our lives? What do they cost us? How do we take Paul's body metaphor and integrate it into our daily being? In the short term, over the next 4 weeks, we'll be considering Scott Peck's, you know, The Road Less Traveled. We'll be considering his four stages of building community in his book, A Different Drum. And so I encourage you to do a bit of Google research ahead to prime the pump. So, let's skibble back to that table on our porch and end where we began. As COVID marched on, Connie Burr's supplies of puzzles dwindled, and so she entered that embarrassing fray of trading puzzles on Facebook with other Lunenburg residents. 1,500-piece puzzle, no contact pickup. 750-piece puzzle with adorable kitties. Driveway drop-off. You know the deal. Once those puzzles got into her hot little hands, she set about the task of completing them. She learned quickly, however, that there is a big difference between a brand new 2,500-piece puzzle still wrapped in plastic from Amazon and the one that it had made its way around town after time. Connie would spend hours working on these puzzles, and then suddenly we would hear a blood-curdling scream from the porch, including some words one doesn't use in church on Sunday. Apparently, the trips around Lunenburg had somewhat predictable results on the puzzle. It lost a piece, or two, or three, as it passed from house to house. The puzzle just couldn't be completed. The puzzle couldn't be what it was created to be, because some pieces were missing. It was incomplete. You see where I'm going? That's just like the Corinthian church to whom Paul was writing. A body missing some pieces so it couldn't be what it was created to be. Without you and 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 all those yous out there who can't make it here for one reason or another. First Church Natick simply can't be what it was created to be. The body doesn't function well with parts missing. It's just not complete. Just like Paul called the Corinthian church from a yammering-induced division into the body of Christ, so too God calls us from COVID into community. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. May it be so for us. Amen. I told Bob Psyche that I would text him when we reached this part of the service so he could light the grill, but could somebody else do it who has his number? Just, somebody's got to have his number. Heather does. Great. Oh, right, he's your husband. That's helpful. As we gather into this time of prayer, I hope that you will hold on your hearts everybody named in the prayer list, which is in the bulletin. Hold on your hearts Shar, who is looking for healing prayers. Mike and Tommy, that they may have a complete and speedy recovery. On this day, remember the families of the first responders and the first responders themselves. Ken Jennings and Karen Shirley, who are dealing with the effects of COVID. Prayers for Jeff's Uncle Bill in Montana, who's struggling through issues with an existing heart condition and is awaiting specialized care. Joys, concerns, celebrations that people bring with them this morning that they would like to share. Rachel and Cheryl in their struggle with breast cancer. Deb's brother and sister struggling with ALS. Oof, I'm so sorry. And her sister, heart conditions. The survivors of 9/11 and surviving families. Heather? All the youth and babies who came back to church today. Is there anything who's ever up there on the email? Your daughter, who has Asperger's and is understandably struggling with all these transitions and lack of structure. JoJo, are you raising your hand or are you just hanging out? Yes. JoJo is praying to have less people suffer. Linda Strong and her family as they mourn Dawn Strong's passing. The family members of Dave and Diane Newcomb, two family members passed away within hours of each other. They need peace and comfort at this difficult time. Anything else? Would you please join your hearts with mine in prayer? Gracious and Holy One, Creator of all things and of emptiness, I come to you full of much that clutters and distracts, stifles and burdens me, and makes me a burden to others. Empty me now of growing dissatisfactions, of anxious imaginings, of fretful preoccupations, of nagging prejudices, of old scores to settle, and the arrogance of being right. Empty me of the ways I unthinkingly think of myself as powerless, as a victim determined by sex, age, race, orientation, gender identity, as being less than I am, of as other than yours. Empty me of the disguises and lies in which I hide myself from other people and from my responsibility for my neighbors, my communities, and for the world. Hollow out in me a space in which I will find myself, find peace in a whole heart, a forgiving spirit and holiness, the springs of laughter, and the will to reach boldly for abundant life for myself and the communities of which I am a part and the whole human family. O God, we want to follow Jesus, our teacher, brother, and guide. And so we pray in words that are comfortable for us. O mother womb, O father shoulders, at the heart of all being, holy is your presence. May your rule of grace replace all powers, your delight be filled, and all creation, all that you hope for us. Help us receive the grace of the present moment as you unfold it before us. As you completely love us and forgive us, grant us love and forgiveness for others. Protect us from the allure of our twisted desires and rescue us from the power of our selfishness. For all being is yours, all power is yours, all glory is yours, in this moment, in eternity, amen. Would you please rise in body or spirit for our final hymn, Forward Through the Ages. We hope that you will all join us for hamburgers and hot dogs outside following worship. If you're new to the community, if you want to go out that door and circle around, you'll find it. Is that right? I have no sense of direction. Go that way, and if you want to go down that way, ask somebody. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. With that blessing, with that responsibility, leave this place remembering to love God so much that you love nothing else too much. And may you fear God enough that you fear nothing else at all. Go in peace. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you.